never forsake the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 322, stanzas 1 and 2. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. 1 and 2 of Psalter 322.
First, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, and as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, who wast dead and is alive again, and who liveth forevermore, and who doth now gather thy church in a special way, more in this day and then in ever any time before, in the time of the New Testament wherein we may live with our children, and that thy Spirit does work to go over the length and the breadth of this whole world, and that thou might seek out those whose names are written in the book of life from that never begun eternity, and for whom thou hast instituted thy holy church, and who hast and hast given offices therein, and that the calling may go forth into the midst of a crooked and a wicked generation. And thou knowest all of our hearts also, and what we are before a holy and a righteous God, as so that there is not one of us that is able to bring to thee the least thing that is good. We have all followed our father and our covenant head Adam. We have followed him in the way of lying, in the way of deceit. We have followed him in the way of departure, have followed him in the way of the devil himself, who has sought him out and who does seek us out. A triple-headed enemy who is the prince of this world, and who has been using this world in order that he may lure our hearts wherein lies every sort of wickedness. O Lord, thou knowest the depth of our fall, but we do not know it. We are ignorant of it unless thou wilt open our eyes to it just a little bit. Could it please thee to do so even in this hour, that we may be given to see a little who we are before thee, and that we may not despair, but that we may be given to mourn therefore, and to turn again unto thee, the true and the living God, because thou hast sent thy dear Son into this world, that he may pay the price for sin. Oh, that we may be given as a poor, as a naked, as a wretched, and as an undone sinner, and to come before thy footstool in a way of truth and in uprightness, that we may be given a true repentance, and that we may be given true tears, and that we may be given a heart to bow before thee, oh, to seek of thee what we cannot find in any other way in this whole world. Lord, thou knowest how lost that we are, but hast thou not come to seek and to save that which is lost? Thou knowest, Lord, that we are without power, but is not all power given unto thee in heaven and in earth? Did they have power who were blind? Did they have power to give themselves sight? O Lord, did they have power to heal their lameness and to take away their deafness and their dumbness? Oh, did they have power, Lord, to take away their leprosy, their filthiness, their issue of blood? Oh, Lord, they had no power, and we have no power either. But wilt thou give us to feel that power of the Son of God, as thou didst show thyself to heal the helpless and those that were miserable in the days that are gone by? Or that we may be given to feel our wretchedness and our misery, that we may come in truth in all our need, and to cry unto thee. And when we may cry unto thee in all of our trouble, and then thou wilt hear us and deliver us from all our distresses, and so we can read it over and over again in thy holy word. Thou givest it unto us, thou declarest it unto us, and it is so to thy honor and to thy glory. When men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and not to others only, but to me also, Lord, wilt thou give it in the heart of young and old together? And we are standing here and sitting in this afternoon hour, and we have these young people. Oh, Lord, it is actually a wedding day. It is a day wherein they have a desire looked forward to. It is a day wherein they desire to be wed to thy truth, to be united unto thy church. Lord, that is a desire that they have set unto us, and now it is a desire in which they hope to say before thy countenance, here in thy house, in a public way, before the whole congregation, Lord, that thou may look upon them, or that thou may give them truth in their hearts, or give them to say it with great earnestness, and give them to say it with wholehearted conviction, and that they may desire, and that they may receive more than this. Oh, that they may have also and that spiritual wedding day, that they may be united in their souls to thy dear and only begotten Son, because there is no other way to come into thy kingdom and to be received by thee, the true, the righteous, and the holy, but also the merciful and gracious God. Oh, that thou may take them then by heart and by hand, and wilt thou bind the truth upon their hearts, and that thou may bind their hearts also unto the Son of Man. Oh, that they in thy time may be given to see him in all his beauty, and that they may be brought in as the bride of that heavenly bridegroom, and that they may be given one day also to come into that eternal wedding,
and that there they may be joined forever and forever. Oh, that they may begin that feasting, that day of the marriage that shall never end. That shall be a day of rejoicing, Lord, it is already a day of rejoicing here in our midst when we may see them. Oh, when their parents, their grandparents may be here or may be listening or elsewhere. And Lord, thou knowest also their gladness. Oh, when they have tried with all our shortcomings to bring up our children in the tender fear of thy name. And then we can only say as fathers and as mothers that we have fallen short in every way. But Lord, thou dost do it despite us. And then it is in the gladness of our hearts that thou dost give such a choice unto our children. Oh, could it be, Lord, that thou may also bless and sanctify thy holy word to them and us. Oh, that as we travel together as pilgrims here upon this short journey to meet thee, and we have one day to stand before thee in all of our guilt and in all of our shortness. Oh, Lord, that thou would wash it all away, and that thou wouldst take reasons out of thyself to look upon us and upon our seed in thy mercy, that thou may remember all those that do labor for thy kingdom to bring in a church. Oh, increase their number. Remember the curatorium and that we'll meet in the weeks to come. Lord, could it please thee to give more laborers in thy vineyard, that there may be men who are truly converted, and whom thou dost bind this matter upon, and that thou bringest before us, that thou may give men to begin to study, and who are instructed by thee, and whom thou wilt use for the conversion of our seed, and that thou mayest work mightily in the midst of us, as a congregation, but also as a denomination. Oh, bring in thy church, Lord, from the mission field, from the length and the breadth of the whole world. Put away the evil of the prince of darkness, who attempts on all sides to break down thy church and to break down thy truth. Oh, give us wisdom as thy servants, and that we may know how to defend thy truth, and that thou would bless the means that are used, that it may be to the convincing of souls, that it may be to the glory of thy name, that it may be for an eternal rejoicing of a poor and an afflicted people who shall learn to bless thy name. Look on all the afflicted, those that are not able to gather with us at home, where that they are, all that have special needs, those that do undergo treatments. Lord, wilt thou bless and sanctify those means? Wilt thou look upon all that have pain? Remember the pains of the heart. Fathers and mothers, remember all the cares and the needs in households and in businesses. And could it please thee to bless us undeservedly, and with the blessings of thy heavenly store for this life, but that we may not use it all for the service of this world, but that our hearts may bow, that we may be given to look up unto heaven where thou art, and that we may desire to be where that thou art, and that our hearts may be with thee while we still live upon the Meshech of this world. Look on us this hour. Lord, give us strength. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity. Give us thy Holy Spirit. Forgive and take away the multitude of all of our transgressions. And look upon us in and through him in whom thou art so well pleased. We ask it in his name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face, within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. And what follows, 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. congregation the words of our text for this special service this afternoon can be found in the portion of God's word which was read to you from Proverbs chapter 9 and thereof the 12th verse. Proverbs 9 verse 12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. So far the words of our text, which speaks about a man's personal accountability. In the first place, we want to see in this chapter competing calls, and secondly, weighty choices, personal accountability, first competing calls, and second, weighty choices in this chapter. A congregation, Solomon portrays a contest. It is a contest between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. It is a contest for souls. Thus the Lord considers a soul to be a very precious, a very important thing. Do we also see the preciousness and the importance of our soul? That is not a battle here, where we find the contestants struggling and fighting with one another. But it is a battle for the wills. Each of them would convince the will of a man. Each of them would convince the will of a woman. The Lord Jesus has fought Satan. The Lord Jesus has bruised his head. The Lord Jesus has conquered in that battle, and he has bought the redemption of his own church. But that is not the end, because the application still has to take place. And now we find the battle that is by the Spirit of Christ. That is the Spirit of Christ with the prince of this darkness. That is a battle for the individual, for his spirit, for his soul. Thus we read here of competing calls. Who are they? The first one we read in verse 3, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Who is that? Well, we read that that is here wisdom. That is wisdom personified. That is wisdom, children, wisdom that is not actually a person, right? Wisdom. But here, in the Bible sometimes, then we read about the personification of wisdom. That is, then wisdom is actually called a person. And that is what we read here in the verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. So wisdom, there is someone who is being called by the name of wisdom. Who is that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many pictures in God's word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is under once again a representation of a queen. She hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. That house is what? That house is the church. That is the church of God. Apostle Paul calls it the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is a church in heaven. and there is also a church on the earth, and that church has a foundation. That is a foundation so that it has a, so that it will last forever. Do you believe that? That it has a foundation. You know, we read here, young people, that she had hewn out her seven pillars. Seven, that divine number, that number of perfection. Seven golden candlesticks, seven stars in his right hand. That is the number of the Lord. And now the Lord, he has hewn out seven pillars upon which that church is standing. So that that church has a foundation, and there is no way that that church, with everything that comes against it in this world, that that church is able to be destroyed. It will never pass away. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. Thus we read about food and we read about drink. What is that? That is in that church, that is in that house of God, and it is a feast. It is food and drink, that is meat and drink for the soul of those who are in that church. What did David say? He says, thou preparest a table and before me. The Apostle Paul says that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's the church. They may eat. We heard that a little this morning. He says, I am the bread of life. Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you. And thus, that meal, that feast, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, we read in the Word of God. Did you ever eat, congregation? Did you ever drink here in the house of God? Did you ever eat and drink spiritual meat and drink that may be food for your soul? She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. They are the maidens of the queen. They are sent by the queen that they may do the bidding of the queen, that they may say what the queen says. So we read here of the ministers. They are sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are sent out to do his bidding. And those maidens, they go forth in order that they may gather a people, and that it may come unto into that house, that they may come unto that feast. By them we read, she crieth in the highest places of the city. What are the highest places of those cities? Well, boys and girls, once again, then many times they had a flat roof, and then they had to make a railing on that roof, so that if someone was on there, they would not fall. And so they could go on that roof. And when there was a crier, we would say a town crier, then they would go to the top of that roof so that their voice could be heard far and wide. And that is what we read here. She crieth in the highest places of the city. And thus those servants, those ministers, they are set here upon a pulpit. And they are given a place by the Lord to cry in the midst of this world. She crieth. And to whom is she crying? We read, whoso is simple. What does that mean? Simple, actually, the word means to be open, to be very wide, to be spacious. That is the meaning of that word, simple. You know what it speaks about? It speaks about naivety. Naivety, to be naive. So we see here a young person, an immature person. He is simple. And he just believes anything. He believes anyone. He is very open. So if this person were to come to him and say this, oh yes, that must be so. And someone else come, yeah, he is open to everything. And to follow just anyone, no discretion, no apprehension of any danger. So he is open to all temptation. He is open to any kind of deception. Solomon says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. He sees that beforehand. He perceives something and he hides himself. But not the simple, not a naive person. Doesn't see that danger. And he just passes on, we read, and he is punished. Solomon speaks about giving subtlety. Subtlety to the simple. We read that the serpent was subtle. That was in a bad way, an evil way, sly. But here it is spoken about in a good way. Because naivety is not good. No, then a person needs to receive wisdom. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, be wise as a serpent. Wise as a serpent, to be subtle. And that you may be able to discern things. And that you would not just be open just to everything. That's the simple. They're open to enticement. Solomon says he wanteth understanding. He lacks understanding. He just follows his feelings. He follows his own desires and he does not consider. He does not make a judgment. He does not compare things one to another. She crieth, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Into where? Into his house. Into that house. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. And now she has sent forth her maidens. And she is saying to those simple ones, to those naive ones, she is saying, turn in hither unto my house that I have builded. And come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine in which I have mingled. Thus she invites to a feast. She calls him to her house. And she says, I have prepared for thee a feast. And what is that she is to feast upon? Well, that is in general the word of God. That is the word of God. We read in God's word that word, and thy words were found, and I did eat them. Did you ever eat the word of God? Did the word of God ever become a feast to you? Did it ever become food and drink, congregation, to your poor soul? It is a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. So forsake, it says, and then go. So it speaks about repentance. It speaks about a turning. You're going away from one thing and you're going on to something else, because those two things are in opposite directions. They don't belong together and they cannot fit together. And then we see whom that she is calling. Says, go away from your foolishness. Forsake the foolish. And that word there, foolish, is actually exactly, it is the same word there as the word simple. So in our language, the one says simple, the other says foolish. But actually, in the original language, they are the same word. Thus, forsake your foolishness, forsake your simplicity, forsake your naivety, forsake that openness. You see what we have become? What we have become through our fall. Every man and woman and child, we have become simple. We have become open to everything. Everything that is deceptive, everything that is against God, everything that is sinful, that is our heart. Is it not so? We may all look in our own heart this day and see if that is not so, if our heart would not be opened here. He say, actually, everything that is in this world, all there is a certain desire that is living, that is burning within our heart. Forsake the foolish, forsake your naivety, your simpleness, and your willingness just to believe anything. Forsake that carnality, the carnality that our heart is so open to, the sinful desires, the desires of our flesh. That is our simpleness, that is our foolishness. He says, forsake the foolish and live. Because the way you go is the way of death. It is the way of the dead. It is the way that goes unto the dead. Forsake. So we forsake one way and we go another way. What way is that? That is to go, it says, in the way of understanding. Thus, that is exactly the opposite way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So it is exactly the opposite way wherein we are going when we are born, and as we are traveling through this world with a heart as it is when we are born. And then she calls those simple ones to come to the house of God, and there that they may be instructed. And that they may be instructed in wisdom. That is exactly the opposite way. That is in the fear of the Lord, to love the Lord, to return to the Lord, to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord, to glorify the Lord, to walk in all of the Lord's commandments. That is this way of understanding that is exactly the opposite to this simplicity. He says, close your heart to everything that is against the Lord and which turns you away. Thus we have the call of wisdom. But now there is another one calling. We see that here in verse 13. And she is called a foolish woman. A foolish woman. And she is representing everything that is opposing the Lord, everything that is opposing His truth. She is a foolish woman. She is actually the epitome of foolishness. She is an instrument of the devil. And we read here that she is clamorous. What is that? That is to be loud, that is to be very boisterous. So that is a picture here of carnal pleasure, of sensual pleasures. She is simple, she knoweth nothing. So altogether that is the epitome, that is foolishness itself. She is completely irrational. For she sitteth at the door of her house. She's not in her house where she belongs, but she is sitting at the door of her house. So it means that she is communicating with people who are going by on the way. So she is trying to spread her foolishness. Indeed, she is seated in the high places of the city. Thus, the world has given this foolish woman a high place in the city. The world gives this woman honor. The world gives this woman respect. So that it is as if she is the one that knows it. And everyone should look to her, because she is the one that is able to teach us what is right. She sitteth at the door of her house. She is seated in the high places of the city. That is, whom the world would have to speak. From there, she calls passengers. She calls travelers. Are you a passenger? Just traveling? Just traveling here upon this world? Or have we put our stakes so down deep into this world that we don't want to leave the world? Or are we only traveling through it? She is calling to passengers, travelers. And it says they are travelers who go right on their way. Who are they? Congregation, there we see a young man. There we see a young woman. And she has been instructed. Fathers and mothers, you are doing that, right? You say, well, not so well. No, I understand. But then you have tried to do that, to try to give them instruction what that right way is, and that they walk not in the wrong way, not in an evil way, but that they would walk on that straight way, on that narrow way that leadeth unto life. And now she is calling to travelers who go right on their way. Thus we see a young man. We see a young woman. And then they are going in that way that father and mother have said, that they have instructed them. Or they are going in the way of truth that has been bound upon their heart. And they are hearing this call of the world. World is calling to them, and they would ignore that, they would reject that. And they want to do as Solomon says, oh, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. So we see that man, that girl. Oh, they are going forward, and they have heard Solomon, and so they want to pass her by. They just want to go by all that calling that is tempting, that is luring them. They avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, pass away, Solomon says. And so they do. They go right on their ways. Then you have this woman, this foolish woman. And she is calling after them, and she will not leave them alone, who go right on their ways. She is clamorous, she is loud, she is boisterous. She gives them no rest with all of her calling, time and time again. What does she say to them? Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Thus, do you hear what she says? She's using the language of the Lord. Satan does that too, young people. He says the same often as is in the Bible. And so we see that. Just compare that when you come home again. Oh, then she is saying just like the Lord says. She says, oh, ye whoso is simple, simple. But you know, she turns everything upside down. And Satan uses the same words, and he turns everything upside down to mean exactly the thing which the Lord does not say. Because what is she doing? She is calling this man, this woman. She who is going right on their way. And she's saying, you are simple. You are simple. You are naive. You're going to walk in religion? What is religion for? Religion is not rational. Religion is just for people who are emotional. Or religion that is something for people who are not very intelligent. Religion is something for people who are weak in their mind. And so she is calling. Ever hear that woman, young people? You go to catechism class. You come to church. And where is that woman? That woman is here. She is in your heart. And she's calling to you. And she is saying, those weak-minded people, you know, go to the university over there. Because there they can tell you what the truth is. There you can tell you what science is. They can tell you what real knowledge is. And all this, where we have the Word of God, all that is nothing but simplicity. The world claims to have rationality on its side. And that, young people, is false. That is absolutely false. The world does not have rationality on its side, because there is nothing more foolish in the whole world than to depart from the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom. The very, very beginning. And there cannot be any wisdom if you don't begin at the beginning. What does she say? Stolen waters. Immoral. Stolen waters are sweet. Dishonest gain. Come eat your bread in secret. In secret places where you can enjoy forbidden pleasures. You ever hear that woman? That woman calling to you. And so we have competing calls, do we not? Competing calls. They are vying for what? They are vying for you. For your soul. For a choice. They are vying for subjects. Subjects that may fill heaven and that may fill hell. It is a spiritual warfare. Where is it fought? It is fought in your heart. It is a battle for the choices of men, of souls. Solemn, most solemn, most weighty choices. You see that in our second thought, but we want to sing a moment first. 69 stanzas 2 and, no, 324. 324 stanzas 3 and 4. Keep me from falsehood, let thy law with me in grace abide. The way of faithfulness I choose. Thy precepts are my guide. 3 and 4 of Psalter 324. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. The Solomon speaks about a choice, that is our will, that is an aspect of our soul. Our will is what makes choices. And he speaks about two choices, that of wisdom and scorn. He says, if thou be wise or if thou scornest. So there are only two choices. Scornest what? If thou scornest wisdom, what is the choice that we all make? The natural heart of man. What is the choice that the natural heart of man is making by nature? That is the choice not for the Lord, but it is a choice for sin. We are conceived and born in sin, and that is what our heart desires. That is the choice that we make. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But Solomon also speaks here about those that be wise. Thus, after the fall, is when Solomon is speaking. He says, there are those that be wise. Where does such wisdom come from? Well, you say there is a wisdom. There is a natural wisdom that can bring men even in a natural way to make wise choices in this world. But those true wisest choices, they are coming out of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. That is regeneration. Thus, there is a renewal of the will. The will, read that in our canons. And that will is renewed. And it begins by the Lord's Spirit to make choices which it did not make before. Good choices, right choices. Maybe you say, but I am not born again. So I cannot make right choices. Well, that is true. That is true in a certain respect. But that does not just leave you so easy. We would say that you have no responsibility. Why? Because we do make choices. We do make choices. You say, I cannot choose, but we do choose. Because the Lord did not lose our will after the fall. No, we still have that will. We remain what we sometimes call a free agent. And every choice that we make, every evil choice that we make, we make that choice freely. The Lord does not make that for us. No, we make that with our own soul. When we choose to follow what is evil, what is carnal, what is vain, what is empty. You do that? Is that our choice, or is that not so? Or do I say something that is now strange to you? Oh, that is a choice for which we are accountable. What does Solomon say? If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. If thou scornest my callings, thou alone shalt bear it. The Lord says, I will not bear it. You will not be able to say to me, when you appear before me in that judgment, when you pass away out of this life, that I am to blame. No, because I have been calling you. Wisdom has been calling you. And you have chosen to scorn that wisdom. That is what you do. And because you do that, you alone are going to bear the blame. If thou scornest, thou alone, not with anyone else, will suffer those consequences. You are the only one that you harm. You harm yourself. Well, you harm also fathers and mothers, your children, your grandchildren, and brothers and sisters, our relatives. We harm them too, but in the end, we have to bear that judgment and that punishment alone. Congregation, how deep is the fall of man? That the Lord has to plead with a man to consider his own plight. We are so simple and we are so foolish that we are not even concerned about our own welfare. What does the Lord say? He says, consider yourself. You do not consider me. You have left me with your father Adam. You have left to serve this world. You do not want to serve me. You do not want to honor me. You do not want to love me. But consider only yourself then. Consider what is good for you. Is that sinful? You say, well, that is selfish. No. That is the way that we have been created. That very first law of self-preservation, that a man wants to continue, that he wants to live, and that he wants to have the best for himself. Now we are so far fallen that the Lord has to bring that very fundamental law back to man and to say, think now, man, about your own welfare, your own soul. The Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh, if thou hadst known in this thy day the things that belong unto thy peace. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. What is it about? It is about thou. It's not him. It is about you. It is about us. Is that not a wonder? That the Lord shows more concern for our souls than we do. Than we do. That the Lord must say to us that we need to look out after ourselves. Thou alone. You ever go alone? We are created social creatures. The Lord says it is not good for man that he be alone. And if you are depressed, then it is not good either, young people. Then it is not good either to be alone. Be careful with that. Because the devil is also powerful in the midst of this world. And he brings people into such a place sometimes that they are ready to maybe even harm themselves.
That's what the devil does, not what the Lord does. No, the Lord says here, he says, think about your own good. Think about your own soul. And then the devil will say to you in such a time when you are weak, go alone. Be careful. Be very careful. But on the other hand, when we have to die alone, don't we? And when we come in the judgment before God, then we also have to stand before the Lord alone. And that is why sometimes it is good that we go, young people, boys and girls, sometimes it is good that we just go in a place that is all by ourselves, alone. And why? Then you need to meditate there. Then you need to think there. You know what you are going to find there? You are going to find that you are not alone. That you are not alone. Because you can never get alone. David said that if he ascended into heaven, then the Lord is there. And he said, if I make my bed in hell, then behold, thou art there. And now when you come, may come to that place where you say, I have no other human being, I am all alone. Oh, then you find that the Lord is there. And then it is just between the Lord and me. Just between the Lord and our soul. That is how it is going to be when we die. That is how it is going to be when we have to stand before God. You have friends, young people. And sometimes you do things together, right? Maybe something wrong that you do together? I hope not. But those things you will not be judged for together. Will you remember that? Those things the Lord is going to take you all by yourself. And there we are going to be judged for everything that we have done. And we will not be able to point to this one or point to that one. Because the Lord will say, thou art the man. That is now why it is good sometimes that we go alone. Because the Bible here speaks about thyself alone. And when that prodigal son was feeding those swine, oh, then he was all by himself, right? So he had many friends, didn't he? They were all gone. They were all gone. And when he was sitting there without any friends left in this world, then his thoughts go back. Then he begins to think about what? Oh, he begins to think about himself. And then he realizes how poor he is. Or he realizes that he has broken a relationship with his own father. Who do you listen to? Who do you follow? Do you follow the callings of the Lord? When the Lord says to follow him, or do you follow the callings of this woman, of this woman? Bunyan's pilgrim could not convince his wife. Bunyan's pilgrim could not convince his children. Bunyan's pilgrim could not convince all his friends. He was mocked. But he had to go. Then he had to go, congregation, alone. And why? What do we read? Or if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. Rahab, she was wise for herself. She had to forsake it all. And her heart had to go over because it was now for her own soul. 120 years, Noah has preached to the world. And after 120 years, Noah and his family alone went into that ark. Thou wilt be wise. Thou shalt be wise for thyself. The angel of the Lord came unto Lot, and he said, Lot, be wise. Be wise for thyself. His people will not follow you, then you need to leave them behind. And so he fled. He fled out of that city because the Lord is going to destroy this city. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. What are we scorning? That wisdom. What do we scorn by nature? That calling. The admonition of the Lord. The beginning to the end of that word of God. That is admonishing. That is calling. That is saying, forsake. Forsake the foolish and live. Oh, we are scorning the admonishment of the Lord to bow, to come down from our height because of our fall, created very high. We think to stand still high, but we cannot anymore because we have fallen. And now the Lord says, come down from that height and bow before me and tell me what thou hast done. Tell me who that thou art. Tell me what your guilt is. Tell me what your corruption is, what your pollution is. Oh, confess before me your poverty, your utter helplessness. We scorn it. We scorn it. And because we scorn this, we scorn him who has hung upon that tree, who has given his life, his life's blood, for sin, whom his Father has raised from the dead. We scorn him. We scorn him because we do not need him, because there is nothing in us that wants to leave sin, because we do not need to be delivered from the guilt, but especially from the pollution. And therefore we scorn him who is able to deliver us, who has come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. But congregation, if thou scornest, thou thyself shalt bear it. We will reap the fruits of our scorning, when he will laugh at us, and when he will mock with us, when our fear is coming. Solomon says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Read of a parable in the Bible. A man, he is given a prisoner, and he has to keep that prisoner at the expense of his life for a talent of silver. That man says, but when I was busy here and there, then he was gone. Are you busy here and there? I think we're all busy here and there, aren't we? We're all busy here and there in this world. Are we losing the prize? We're losing the prize because we are busy. He pleaded to the king. The king says, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter 69, stanzas 2 and 4. Oh, search me, Lord, and prove me now. Thy mercy I adore. I choose thy truth to be my guide, and sinful ways abhor. 2 and 4 of Psalter 69. Those who wish to make confession of faith to please arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Albert Baus? Lucas Noel Busicum, Maria Antonia Gulliker, Yella Hendrik Bredewech, Natalia Katharina Niels, Bradley Dwayne Den Hollander, Leanne Anya Maurick, Braden Andrew Grisnick, Michaela Kelly Fisher, Isaac Anthony Vandenbroek, Carolee Willeen Olliman. Young people, you have made a choice that is a personal choice. It is not a choice of your mother, of your father. They have brought you up. They have brought you in baptism. That was their choice. And now you have made a choice. It is a choice, as we read here, for thyself. That is also a very weighty choice. Because the Lord says it is better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. But it is also a choice that has come in the midst of a warfare, in the midst of a battle. Because from your very youth, even to this moment, then the Lord has been calling on the one side for your heart. And on the other side, the world and sin that is living in our heart and the devil, they have also been calling. And now in the midst of this battle, in the midst of this warfare, you have made a choice. And what is that choice? Well, then you have said, I will go in. I will go in unto that house. That house that the Lord has built, and that the Lord is calling me, and that the Lord says, turn in hither to this house that is built by wisdom. And now you have made that choice to hear that call of wisdom and to turn in hither, to join yourself unto the outward administration of the Church of God. You are, my friends, not finished. Not finished. Because by this choice, we do not enter into the house proper. But by that choice, we enter, as it were, into the porch. And thus you are standing, as it were, at the entrance. Just at the very entrance of the house. And indeed, if we want to get in the house proper, then we need to come first in the porch. But if we are in the porch only, then we have to always realize that we are not yet in the house proper. And it can be in a person's life that he is so satisfied with being in the porch being in the porch. And why is that? Because to come in that house proper, the Lord says, striving is necessary. There has been a little strife. The past year, oh, you have striven, all of you, in learning, and that is not the greatest of the strife. No, to come into that house proper now, the Lord says we need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock, and we need to strive to enter in. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And now that woman, this wisdom, that queen wisdom, she is setting before you something, because she is not only speaking about turning in hither, she's speaking also about something else. She says, come, eat of my bread. And drink of the wine which I have mingled. Ah, so that there is in that house something to be enjoyed. There is something in that house to be eaten yourself. Oh, the Lord has prepared a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees, that a man may eat the Son of Man, and that he may drink his blood. Oh, there is no feasting like that feasting. Do you believe that? Now, is there any desire? Is there any appetite? Because by nature, there is no appetite for that. But is there now any appetite, anything in your heart that says, oh, could I now eat, and could I now drink that spiritual meat and drink? Because we do not have it by nature. But you all have now made that choice to turn in hither. And it could be that in your heart, when you have made that choice to turn in hither, that you have your eye on that meal. I don't know that. I don't know that. That is a secret of your own heart. And that is now how it was with Ruth. She joined the people. And now she went to glean on that field. And she was diligent in that gleaning. It was not enough for her to dwell in the porch. No, she wanted to be one of that people. And she is gleaning on that field. And then she was rewarded. And who rewarded her? Boaz. He saw her there. He saw her there in the field. He saw her laboring for food, for food. Oh, if the Lord would see you laboring. Laboring for that meal, then who can tell? But that he would invite you, and like Boaz did. He came and he said to those servants, give her on purpose some handfuls. Look at her laboring there. Look at her laboring. She needs to eat. She needs to drink. If that may be in your heart, you say, Lord, I am in the porch.
I'm standing just at the entrance. And now wilt thou bring me in? Wilt thou give me to eat that same spiritual meat and to drink from that rock that followed the children of Israel? All the Lord give to you to labor with great strivings. And now, finally, remember that woman. That woman. She is still there. She is not dead. And if you are going to go right on your way, if that's what you're going to do, if you are one of those passengers who is going right on their way, she is going to see you when she is sitting there in the door of her house, and she is going to be calling you, and she is not going to leave you alone, not the rest of your life. If that's the way your walk is going to be in this world, oh, then she is going to give you no rest. Will you remember that? Will you remember who she is? What does the Lord say about her? She is simple. She is simple. And she knoweth nothing. Will you tell her that? When she is calling you, and when you are trying to go right on that way, according to your confession, and then you tell her that, O world, O sin, O Broadway, you are simple and you know nothing. O the Lord, strengthen you in the confession that you have made, and the Lord give you his indispensable blessing. So be it. Congregation, I ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 400, the third stanza, on behalf of these young people. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord, his God, is stayed. 400, stanza 3, standing. Who does bring each and every one of us to stand at the entrance, and in this day also these young people, when thou givest that choice, that good choice, within their hearts, oh, we ask of thee that thou may be on their right and on their left. We do not know what a day brings forth, but they are young. And humanly speaking, their life is before them. And we know not what will come against it all. O Lord, that thou may remember them
and give in their hearts the application of thy truth. Oh, that they may eat yet of that sacrifice which thou hast made, and that they may become true partakers of that heavenly meat and drink. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. Remember us in the week to come, and wilt thou be with all that travel. Be with us when we hope to meet on Thursday evening to commemorate thy ascension. O, give what is necessary to bring and hear thy word a place in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 228, all the stanzas. O Lord God of hosts in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our fathers, God, give ear. And what follows, 228 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.